Welcome once again to Life Sites, the radio show. My name is T. George Humpshire, and it is a great opportunity to be with you once again today, talking about insights into helping you as a Christian individual live a daily life that's unto the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, depending on the Holy Spirit to do that, and to live a loving, joyous, victorious, abundant life. That really is what the Christian faith and the Christian lifestyle should be all about. Well, before we get into our show today, I need to read this legal statement disclaimer. This radio show in no way is intended to be used to diagnose, treat, or cure any specific individual problem or problems. Individuals are highly recommended to see a qualified helping professional, medical doctor, or other caregiver to help them diagnose, treat, and or cure their own specified problem or problems. Well, today we're going to continue in the series that we're doing, the series that is discussing what I believe is the largest, greatest problem facing evangelical Christianity in 2011 here in the U.S. of A. And that, again, has to do with overemphasizing principles which are vital in our lives, but overemphasizing them over relationship, and in particular, loving relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with ourselves, and with others. And today we're going to be discussing sort of the third component that we have in line here. We're talking about how the thousands, all right, millions of Christians ran into the political world to try to shore up the defenses against the cultural chaos that the 60s brought along and the secularists as well. But in so doing, they overemphasized principles. Then we talked about last time how the name of Jesus was being blasted by the secularists to make us feel an embarrassment. And we discussed how vital that name is and how important it is in our relationship to the Lord Jesus, and how important it is really in making that relational element of our lives the number one priority of our lives over principles. Well, today we're going to be discussing a third thing, and that is how I think it's affecting organizations and churches greatly. And that is this sense of putting, how can I put it? Well, let me put it to you this way. In America, there are much more pragmatic or practical, precise, concrete thinking people than there are people that are more insightful, creative, people persons, more social personality types. In fact, it's 4 to 1, basically, 3 to 1, actually. 75% is an estimate that I would give in terms of there's more practical people in America at a 75% clip compared to 25%, which should be more insightful, creative, social persons, if you will. Now, if we look at that general sense then, and we sort of plug that in to the churches and to organizations that, you know, comprise evangelical Christianity on a whole, what the issues become is that many times organizations, when I say organizations, that is much more in tune with those that are practical, precise, specific, detailed types of personalities, even in churches, because churches overwhelmingly are much more of the black and white sort of thing. Even, you know, most of the time how services are conducted and, you know, the business, and there's always that church meeting, business meeting once a month, isn't it? And so you have that approach going on. So there's a lot of emphasis, especially really at the higher level, because they are organizations, and then of course the organizations, you know, are organizations, and that, you know, at the highest level, you want people that are practical and black and white, because organizations are run best. They're like a business. They're run by people that need to be much more black and white and precise and concrete. Well, the problem is, though, that if there's an overload in that arena, an overemphasis on, especially at the highest level, the practical personality, as opposed to the personality that is a people person, a relational type of personality, you can see where I'm coming from, I think. And that is that then you're going to have much easier focus by the churches and organizations on the do's and don'ts and on the principles much quicker, much more intensity than is going to be focused on the relational aspects of the of God, the Father, Son, Spirit, etc. And so that's what I think is another big problem in this view as we're looking at it in exalting principle over relationship, is that in the institutions, the Christian institutions or organizations in our country, there's much more of a overload, if you will, on that type of personality that is running the church, that is leading the church. And so what's happening is that we create much more of that sense of the principles instead of the relational. And, you know, when you think about it, a person who is more pragmatic or practical, less social, has less social inclinations, relational inclinations, they're much more going to be wanting to actually sort of avoid talking about that because it's uncomfortable. And it's nothing against them per se, it's just part of the personality. Now, having said that, not to be double-minded, I've known many pragmatic pastors and leaders of churches that were pragmatic and were fabulous at talking at that because they had worked through that relational aspect with the Lord Jesus, the Father, Spirit, etc. And so they developed a great sense anyway of that loving relationship with the Godhead. But most practical people have to work through that because that's not their arena, so to say. It's just like a social person isn't going to be able to, you know, I can't go out and fix a car, you know. I'd get lost. I think I'd be throwing wrenches at the car. So that would be out of my element. But a practical person can fix a car. A practical person can run a church, but they need also to have the relational thing there, as we've talked about, because that's got to be number one. So I would suggest that churches and organizations would highly consider putting the more social type of personality at the highest levels to be able to influence the church greatly, because that is the major thing that a church has to have. When people come in, they need to feel a sense of love that's in the church more than they need to feel a sense of, okay, was the bulletin done right? You know, is the place financially sound, which is important. I'm not saying that. That's very important. But again, is there love in that church? And is the love, is there a comfortableness? Is it sort of a kind of false or what have you? So churches, organizations in Christian evangelical America need to really consider putting key people that have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, key people that have a love for others and themselves as well, because that's vital, and being able to have them be a major part, and in fact, the major part in their church in terms of getting up and speaking about it, in terms of talking to, you know, folks in the church, individuals, Christians, sort of giving that love to others is so vital today. I think in the Christian church, it's one of the biggest problems in the churches in America, is that it's overloaded, again, with principle and that love. And I think something else, as we consider that, is when principles take the center stage away from that love, and in particular that love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then what ends up happening is, as 1 John talks about, love is no longer there, and fear begins to develop, and fear becomes a powerful force in the church, in the organization, because love is not there. And as 1 John talks about, as John talks about here in chapter 4 and verse 18, he says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Wow. So the point is, though, that when we don't have love, we many times it's replaced by fear. And so what I've experienced with many Christians is that because the focus is on the do's and don'ts, is that many Christians have fear in their heart. So if I come up to someone's, you know, for example, a friend, and say, "I love you," you know, sometimes certain friends will be like, "Oh, I love you," or not even say anything, because they're afraid of someone saying, "I love you. Oh, what's he up to?" You know, in this day and age of the horrible morality and stuff that we do have in our culture, you know, you have to, along the way, say, you know, which I'm going to say now, when I talk about love, I'm not talking about lust. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about love, Christian love. But see, what's happened is we've replaced it with the do's and don'ts, and now what's come in is a fear on top of it, because love is not something that's around as powerful as it was, say, in the 1970s that I've talked about. So that love, that sense of feeling of love and sharing that with someone, or giving them a hug, or, you know, appropriate hug, arm extended hug, etc. You know, things that are appropriate. Got to say that in this day and age. That is vital to our Christian lives. And so when we say we love someone and say that in, you know, into their eyes, a lot of times they're like, "Wow, whoa, what's going on?" But, you know, did not the Lord Jesus say that to men and women, you know, into their eyes, that he loved them? Absolutely. Was Jesus afraid? What would they think? See, I think a lot of times we're afraid now of saying "I love you" to people, because we're afraid, what are they thinking? If I say "I love you" to this attractive woman, even though she's a friend of mine, what is she going to think? If I say "I love you" to a friend that's a guy, what is he going to think? You know, gosh, is this guy a weirdo? I mean, that's where we're at, unfortunately, in our Christian and evangelical Christianity, is because we've so focused on the do's and don'ts, and love has taken a back seat, that when we try to express that love, we're under question from others, because they're so focused on the do's and don'ts themselves that they're not feeling comfortable. In fact, they're feeling fear. But as John talks about right here, once again, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so one of the ways to cast out the fear, and there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, is to use love and to say that we love people, and to demonstrate that with our joy to be with them, our happiness to be with them, our encouragement to be with them. And that casts out fear. But if we're afraid and we don't want to respond and say to someone who says "I love you," you know, if you do, if you're a friend and you appreciate their love, if we don't say that, it's trapped inside of us. We don't take ownership of that. We don't get the blessing as well from saying, I love you. And it's a wonderful blessing because not only do we feel the love of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit within us, we feel the love of ourselves for that person as well, very powerfully too. So it's an absolutely wonderful thing. And I think many Christians are running scared from just saying, I love you. Whereas as I grew up, you know, that was not uncommon. That was a wonderful thing that I experienced with others. And there wasn't what's wrong with him or what's wrong with her. It was, wow, they really love me. And that's incredible. So that's Christian fellowship. It's not depending on people, but it's accepting their love. And it's us declaring our love for someone. That's the Christian life that is so incredible. It's about love. It's about relationship over principle. Well, before we go, I do have two books. The one is The Paths to Individual Breakdown. The other is Old Self, New Self. You can find both books online in order to order them at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And it's untojesusnotmen.com, at untojesusnotmen.com. Well, once again, it's been great to talk with you. And until next time, may the Lord Jesus Christ and may you be relationally close in love. Goodbye.